Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. If you have a Bible question or some troublesome life issue you'd like to discuss, we'd love to hear about it right now and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of Jesus Christ and walking in His life every day. The lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742, and that, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Yeah, go ahead and make that call, 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you if you have a question about a particular verse in the Bible or a problem situation that you may be going through. We want to direct you into the Word of God for hope and for help and just the wisdom of God that can get you moving in the right direction. I am thrilled today. Richard Pfeiffer is with me here in studio, and I know most of our listeners are familiar with you, Richard, and thank you so much for coming in and being a part of today's program.
My pleasure. This is fun to do.
Oh, man, it is very fun for me to have you back in studio. This month we're talking about something really cool, Jesus. It's not like we don't talk about him every single month, but we're talking about the Jesus you can know. Mm-hmm. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship. So it's a relationship with God the Father and with Jesus Christ the Son. One of the things that we see in the New Testament from the Apostle Peter is this, that we're to grow in grace and grow in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to grow in this relationship. We're to continue to get to know him. And as a matter of fact, your favorite verse in all the Word of God, John 17:3, defines eternal life in that way.
Yes.
It is knowing God the Father, and it's knowing the one whom he sent, Jesus Christ. So today we're going to talk about one of the aspects of God that we can know, one of the aspects of Jesus Christ that we could know, and what that means to us in our day-to-day lives. It's a big old churchy word called omniscience, and it means all-knowing.
Yes.
So Jesus Christ as God is all-knowing, which means he knows everything about us. Now, that can scare the weebie-jeebies out of us because we don't want to be exposed. And if we are, what in the world is God going to do to us? Or it can be the most comforting truth that there is, knowing that Jesus already knows everything about me, yet he still loves me, yet he still chose to die in my place, yet he still chose to take every sin of mine upon himself. And he still chooses to be with me each and every day. So I take the comforting route. I think that's the way we're supposed to see omniscience, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, we tend to think of those people who know too much about us as being very dangerous because something's likely to show up on social media or on TV or someplace that exposes us. God never exposes us. Even in the Old Testament, under the law, the sacrifices covered the sin, didn't expose the sin, covered the sin. Then Jesus comes and wipes it all away. And that's why he says, look, there's no condemnation for you.
Yes.
I know everything there is to know about you. I've dealt with all of the bad stuff you ever did and will ever do once and for all. That's not even part of the conversation anymore. What I want to show you is what I know about love, what I know about the future, what I know about the past. Irrespective of time, I want to be able to show you who God is and what he is like. Will you let me? Will you have this conversation? And it really goes where he makes assertions and we ask questions because we don't understand.
Yeah, we don't understand at all. And I think that's one of the things that the Word of God kind of sets up. You know, there was a tent of meeting back in the Old Testament, and there was an invitation, just a standing invitation from God to anybody among the people to come to the tent and inquire of him, to ask questions, to talk to him. They were all afraid and said, Moses, you're the one. You go. But that's available to all of us. We see that the throne of grace is open and we can go boldly into the throne of grace and have these questions and have these conversations with him. Now, one of the things that this does for us practically is seen in Galatians chapter 4. In verse 8, it says, formerly, when you did not know God. So there was a time that we did not know God. We knew nothing about him. And then Jesus Christ shows up, and Jesus starts to reveal to us the truth about God the Father. And that starts to make sense, and we respond. So it says, when we did not know God, we were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. But now that you have come to know God, that's what happens through the good news of Jesus Christ. You come to know God. It's this personal relationship. But Paul kind of turns it just a little bit, and he says, or rather, to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world whose slaves you want to be once more? So there were these laws, there were these rules, there was these regulations. We were utilizing those to improve our status as far as God was concerned. We're trying to gain righteousness through obedience to these things. But now that we know that God knows us inside and out, and he's still for us, why would we ever want to turn back to those things? Those never helped us. Mm-hmm. Those fueled our frustration, amplified the fear, caused us to draw away from God instead of near to God. And he's saying, now that you know God, now that you know that he's love, but rather this, now that you know that he knows you, that mm-hmm. he's omniscient and knows all about you, you don't have to turn back to those things.
No.
You have Jesus, and he's the one through this relationship that is going to transform you inside to out. That's good news, isn't it?
It sure is. I mean, think about, I can't understand omniscience. I cannot. It is beyond me as a human being. However, because the Spirit lives inside of me, there are times during the day when I or you or anyone else can have one of those little aha moments, and you can't even put words to it, but God is showing you something, something that he knows and I don't.
Yes.
And reveals it to me so that I can respond over time to what he has revealed and move forward in this walk by faith. I can't understand omniscience, but I do understand that my God knows everything there is to know and uses every bit of that knowledge to make me a better person.
Absolutely. Jesus loves you. He knows everything mm-hmm. about you, and he's still with you with the promise he will
Absolutely.
Never leave you nor forsake you. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Richard Pfeiffer is here. So honored to have him. My name is Bob Christopher. We're glad you've joined us as well. 844-322-2742 is the number. 844-322-2742 is the number. If you have something on your mind, something that you would like to share, a question that you would like to ask, go ahead and call right now, 844-322-2742. I want to remind you, our listeners, that we have a fantastic resource that we want to put in your hands this month. It is called The Jesus You Can Know. Christianity isn't about a religion. It's not about rules and rituals to follow mm-hmm. or to practice. It's about knowing God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. It's about enjoying his love each and every day, and having that power of love transform you from the inside out. So we want to put this resource in your hands. It's available for a gift this month, The Basic Gospel. You can go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click the donate button. And while you're there, be sure and request your copy of The Jesus You Can Know. I guarantee you, this will be a huge encouragement in your life, and you're going to come away from these messages with a deeper understanding of just who Jesus is and the wonderful love that he has for you. There's absolutely nothing to fear in going further in your relationship with Christ. It gets sweeter and sweeter with him every single day. So request your copy of The Jesus You Can Know. We do have open lines, 844-322-2742. We're going to start today with a call that came to us overnight from Orlando in Sacramento, California.
My name is Orlando in Sacramento. I have a thing against you guys and most people that preach. They say that we know Jesus and we love Jesus, but still, you guys don't follow his commandments. He didn't have no suggestions that he was going to change. So why don't you follow his commandments? There is nothing on the Bible that says that the Ten Commandments doesn't exist anymore. Nothing on the Bible. You cannot prove it. But you still, like the Pharisees, you guys still insist that Sunday is the day of the Lord, and that is not true. It is not true, and you guys are playing with fire. You guys use a lot of blah, blah, blah from your own philosophy, but the truth is not in you. Amen to that.
Yeah. Well, Orlando, you do have something against us. You disagree with us concerning the nature of the Ten Commandments, the purpose of the Ten Commandments. Paul clearly tells us that it's through these commandments that we're given the knowledge of sin. That's what the commandments impart to us, yes. The knowledge of sin. There is no way that we can live up to those commandments. There is no way that anyone can be declared righteous through obedience to those commandments. So, Orlando, you're looking to earn righteousness through your obedience to the commandments, specifically the fourth commandment.
Yeah.
And we're saying, no, those commandments did exactly what God designed them to do. Those commandments gave to us the knowledge of sin, and through those commandments, we saw that we were dead in trespasses and sins. And at that point, we turned to Jesus Christ by faith in response to his grace. We were made alive, and through that, the righteous requirements of the law were now fulfilled in us. Mm-hmm. So grace is the way, has always been the way. He's got some things to take up with us, doesn't he, Richard?
Yeah, and I can understand it, because the law, the Mosaic Covenant, is explicit. The seventh day is the Sabbath.
Yes.
And that means in our calendar, Saturday, yes, would be the Sabbath. It's very explicit. It was never
Friday
changed.
Friday night sundown to Saturday sundown.
Nothing ever changed that, but something superseded it, and that was Jesus. Because all of that law, the law itself, the Ten Commandments, all of the other commandments around it, all of the sacrifices, all pointed forward to Jesus. He fulfilled the entire thing. We're told in Hebrews that Israel never did enter God's rest. Why? Because they didn't have the Sabbath? Not at all. It's because they didn't believe.
Yes.
They had no faith in who that was pointing to. And so we have never claimed that Sunday is now the day of worship. And I think, Bob, you talked about this before. I mean, we tend to worship on Sunday because Jesus rose from the dead on
Absolutely.
Sunday.
You know, why not celebrate the greatest single event in human history, the fact that Jesus came back to life? That's our hope.
Yes.
And apart from that, Christianity implodes.
Correct.
There's nothing to it if Jesus didn't come back from the dead.
Yeah. So if you want to worship on Saturday, more power to you. We have the option to worship 24/7.
Yes.
And we can meet together on any day, at any time, in any venue, as members of the body of Christ, and thereby encourage one another to keep meeting together and not holding off from each other. But we have to come to the conclusion at some point in our lives that we're done with law. I mean, Paul spent his entire ministry explaining to people, either be done with law or don't put yourself under law to begin with, because Jesus is sufficient to it all.
That's exactly
the only rest available to us is the rest of by grace through faith that Jesus gives us by the indwelling Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's exactly what Paul said in Galatians 2:19. He says, for through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God.
Mm-hmm.
You can't live to God under that law. And also, we have to realize that you can't pick and choose.
Correct.
You can't hold the fourth commandment out and say, hey, if we follow this, if we abide by this commandment, then we're going to have righteousness. No, it's all or nothing. As James says, if you stumble in the least, you violated the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that throughout. So God doesn't grade on a curve. He doesn't, it's either perfection or not. And that's what Jesus did. He upheld the law perfectly. And that's what qualified him to be the sacrifice that he was, so that he could take upon himself our sins, so that we could be set free from the law of sin and death by the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And this is the rest that we experience, mm-hmm. the eternal Sabbath rest through faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's huge, isn't
it? It is. Let's go back to the omniscience thing again. God knew that we were clueless.
Yes.
He gave Israel the law so that they would become clued in regarding what sin is. They were clued in. Some of them got it. Most of them didn't. When he comes to live inside of us, what he is telling us, the greater knowledge, the things that he knows that we don't, he's telling us, if you want rest, trust me.
Yes.
Don't trust your behavior. Don't trust a list of do's and don'ts. Trust me. Allow me to do the wrestling in your soul that needs to happen so that you can live a life consistent with your new identity as a child of God.
And he mentioned something about commands. And when you read through the New Testament, you see two that really emerge. And constantly Jesus is putting forth who he is. I am the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. And in all of that, he keeps saying, if you believe me, you will have eternal life. If you believe me, you will have this bread of life. If you believe me. So one of the commands is simply to believe. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit convicts the world wrong about sin. And as far as sin is concerned, because we don't believe in Jesus. So the first command of God is that we believe the Son. And the second, in believing the Son, then we manifest his life through us in love toward others.
Yes.
Those are the commands.
Yes.
And it starts from a place of rest. It starts from a place of trust. And it flows through us out into the world as a reflection of the goodness that God has given to us in Christ Jesus. So, Orlando, I hope that you will take this thing all the way through and recognize that you are saved by grace through faith in Jesus like everyone else. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's only one way to be made righteous, one way to be declared righteous, and that is freely by the grace of God. Well, we hope this is an encouragement to you. Hope this is an encouragement to our listeners as well. This is Basic Gospel. Richard Pfeiffer is here. I'm Bob Christopher. We're going to go to North Carolina and talk to our friend Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
Yes, good afternoon again. It's good to hear from both of y'all. But I have a question concerning some people talking like Maria Anderson Williamson, and they were saying that the only power in the world, you know, is love. And I'm trying to grasp that. Because it seems like it's a contradiction, because it seems like, according to the Bible, there's good and evil, and we make a choice. But then I guess after you become saved, then is that what she's talking about then, that you have the power of love? Because some friends of mine, we're just having a dialogue, and I'm just trying to understand it.
Well, Andrew, that's a great question. And as far as powers are concerned, there's no greater power than God himself. And he manifests that power toward us in his love for us. But certainly there are the forces of darkness. There's power within the good and evil that's there. But those don't compare to the power of the love of God that's been demonstrated for us through Christ's death on the cross. Love is such a generic word. It's been watered down in our culture and society, and we have all kinds of songs. You know, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Well, if it's not attached to God, if it's not sourced by God, then we're talking about the wrong kind of love. So it's his love that is powerful. And I think that's something that we need to recognize and truly make that distinction. Don't we, Richard?
Yeah, the Bible speaks of four different kinds of love. And unfortunately, in English, all we get is love.
Yes.
There's eros love, which is objective love. Eros is not bad. It's just objective. And you move up a little bit, you've got brotherly love and familial love. Both of those happen at the soulish level. But the crowning love of all loves is agape love. That's the love we're talking about. And too often in our world, when people say, you know, what we need is more love, they're not willing to say, what we need is the love of Jesus Christ, because that means that Jesus has a claim on our lives that we don't want to admit. But that is the truth.
Absolutely.
That's that love based on the life of Jesus within us through the Holy Spirit. That is truly a power, but it's not something that's natural to us.
Yeah.
It's not something we can gin up.
And it's a power that affected us. So we were dead in trespasses and sins. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with God. So how powerful is the love of God? It's powerful enough to take someone dead in sin and make them alive together with Christ Jesus. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
That's power over death, my friend.
So what they should be saying then is just the love of God. You know,
yes. Right, right.
The love of God in Christ.
In Christ.
There's
that's,
the issue.
That's the distinguishing mark.
So just saying the power of love is the only power, and that power is good, then that's not correct statement, is it?
I think it needs to be tied to God and specifically tied to the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. Okay. And there are two powers in the world, evil and good, but we should be going with the power of Christ. So those powers do exist, correct?
Yeah. And the powers of darkness, you know, when it comes to the end, Jesus just speaks and those are
gone.
Yeah. So they don't compare to the power of God as expressed to us through his love and grace.
Yeah. Andrew, remember that the battle isn't between good and evil. The battle is between death and life. Good and evil in our world, because the way God set it up, all happen on the death side of the equation. It's Jesus or nothing.
Yes.
Jesus or nothing.
Yeah. Well, Andrew, thanks for that call. We certainly appreciate it. Let's go out to San Jacinto, California, and talk with David. Hi, David. You're on the air.
How are you doing, brother?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
Yeah, well, I like what you guys are saying earlier about the omniscient. That's good stuff. You know, it is true that when you finally understand grace, you know, that love that's in your heart, and you realize God's love, it just, you don't ever want to leave it. You know, it's nothing like it was before.
Yes.
It's a changed heart.
Absolutely. And, absolutely. That's the transformation we experience by grace through faith in Jesus.
Amen. Amen. It's good stuff. Well, my question was, reading through 1 Corinthians 5, where it says, in the name of our Lord, 5:4, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus.
Yeah, so a horrifically immoral act was taking place by this particular gentleman. And not only the act was bad, but it was starting to affect the attitudes of everyone within the body. So as it says, a little leaven spoils the whole lump. So for the protection of the body, this is what Paul said. I want you to put him out of the assembly. And if he wants to continue to submit his flesh to sin, to the destruction of, you know, of the flesh through Satan, Satan's power, then so be it. But the end result is his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. So it was to be a benefit to him, so that he could see that what he was involved in was not good for him or the body, and it was a protection of the body. And we see in 2 Corinthians where Paul says, time has been enough, bring him back into the body, and forgiveness was given among the body itself.
Yeah, Paul didn't say this guy had lost his salvation.
Right.
He was saying either he didn't have it, or he needs to come to his senses.
Absolutely.
One of the two.
Hope that helps, David. We're out of time on this edition of Basic Gospel. Richard, thank you so much for being with us
sure.
today. The Jesus You Can Know, it's available this month for a gift to Basic Gospel, go to basicgospel.net, click the donate button, and follow the instructions, and be sure and order your copy of The Jesus You Could Know. Now for Richard and the entire team, this is Bob Christopher saying so long from Dallas.